There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. And as always, phone line and text line open for you at 343-0106, 343-0106. As I mentioned at the end of last hour, joining me from half a world away, but Alabamian, the smartest guy in our friend group growing up, students at the University of Alabama, like he was a smart guy, the default guy. You got a math question, you got a science question, yeah. You would ask my buddy Jeff Toxie, and it's worked out. He is head of geologic studies at Qatar Energy and geoscientist at ExxonMobil. He is in Doha. Well, I'm going to say it here. Hey, Jeff, is it Qatar, Doha, Qatar, or Qatar, or what is it?
So, very good question. Short answer is the English language speaking voice box is not trained to make the noise that's the actual name. I'll do my best. It's Qatar.
Qatar.
So you kind of have to jam your tongue in the back. But I've heard people call it Qatar and Qatar. And when people try to make the noise, it ends up sounding like gutter. But it is Qatar, if you want to say it like an Arabic Qatar speaker.
Okay.
But Qatar or Qatar, either one is fine.
Because I heard the gutter thing. Listen, you're from Tuscaloosa County, man. If you can do it, I can. I'm from Mobile County. I can do it, too. Roll Tide, brother. Good to talk to you. So I'm watching, I mentioned the folks last hour. So I'm watching your video on Facebook, and it's, y'all, we see the videos been coming in of what happened yesterday coming in Doha. And I saw those videos, you know, they're shown on national TV. And then I realized here's videos from Jeff, from like you were in the backyard or something. Where were you? I mean, were you at the house where you're taking those videos?
So a good buddy of mine that I work with, he's actually going to be repatriating this weekend. His family had left on a plane yesterday morning, and then they were packing up, and he had some things that he wasn't going to be able to pack, like beer and unopened liquor bottles. So I was over there helping him out.
Oh, good.
And so this was actually a compound, you know, a gated community would be the term. Mm-hmm. But it, essentially, that's where we used to live when I was here with my whole family. My boys are back going to school in the U.S. My wife just went back last weekend to, you know, for basically summer leave because it gets hot as blazes here and there's nothing to do. But so I was on that compound. And to give a reference point, because I thought it might come up, from where I was in that compound to where the Al-Udeid air base was, where the missiles were being fired at, is about the distance if you were standing on the USS Alabama mm-hmm. looking straight at Fairhope. That's 25
wow.
kilometers away.
Wow. So, I mean, it's, yeah, but I'm thinking that, I mean, to think from Fairhope to the Mighty 8, that's not far. I mean, that's,
no.
I mean, that's right. Could you hear, so we see your video, can you, you hear the concussion of the anti-missile defense hitting the missiles? And what does that sound like, if you can?
Yeah, so the first thing that we heard was all the guys that were packing up the house went outside and were poking around. And we were just sitting in the backyard having a couple of beers. And then we heard sirens, and that's unusual. They don't have a civil defense, like, air raid siren system for Doha. But they do have them at the base. And because we were so close, we actually started hearing the sirens from the base. And then we heard a couple of pops and then some thuds. And it just sounded like a sack of potatoes hitting the ground. And
was that
so
the
we
missiles
kind of all
hitting,
looked at each
was,
other. And
was that the missiles then hitting the ground that had been shot down? What was making the thud?
No, the thud was just the pressure wave that was coming. So it's like thunder. It was a short pop, and so that thump, when the explosion to detonate the incoming, that was what we were hearing.
Okay, so you're hearing that, then you're look. Then there's the visual, right? I mean, which is from your videos when we've seen that's something. It's a heck of a fireworks show. And you also, in true language I would understand, Jeff told me during the news break, he said, yeah, Sean, it's like being at the skeet range, but being downrange at the skeet range, right?
Absolutely. You know they're not aiming at you. They were aiming for the base. But when you're not catching the missiles, you're blowing them up in the air before they get to you. So all that shrapnel and debris is falling somewhere. And luckily, we weren't over the direct flight path, but we were very close. So if something would have detonated high enough, it could have ricocheted or, headed in our direction. So, of course, we're standing out there looking up, recording with our phones and drinking beer. So, we were having a good time.
Ain't much changed, even with you half a world away. But I do want to ask, Jeff, I want to ask this, though. With April and the kids back in the States, it's just you there, but this is such a wishy-washy question, but this is what I do for a living. What does that feel like? Being like, they're shooting at the base. They're not shooting at you, but I'm going to project here. You don't know that they then couldn't turn to shoot where you are or miss the base. I mean, there had to be some sort of kind of heaviness to that.
There was, I don't want to get give the impression that, we're all being unsafe and flippant. But you've known me long enough. Mm-hmm. I tend to handle stress by cracking jokes.
Yeah.
So there was a little bit of that, a little bit of a dark humor that was going on. We're just watching it. And because the guy was there, his wife and family were actually on a plane over the Atlantic, and they luckily had Wi-Fi. So I had April and the boys in Houston. I had my family in Alabama, me and him here in Doha, his wife and kids on a plane over the Atlantic, and we're all texting and sending videos, and it's like and so you kind of took your mind off of it a bit. But when you sit there and you're looking up, you're like, if one of those goes squirrely, mm-hmm. it's going to end poorly.
Yes. I mean, that's real. That's sobering for sure. I don't care how many craft beers you got in you.
I think we had about three at that point.
You're starting to get there. What's the reaction on, like, and it's, 9 o'clock there where you are, right? 9 o'clock your time?
Yep.
So you had a day after to, what is it like? I mean, have you gone outside, work in the house? I mean, what's it like in Doha? What's the local police? I mean, is there any kind of reaction there? Is the city, a buzz? What is it like?
Honestly, so not much has changed. There's definitely some electricity in the air. People mm-hmm. are like, what's going on next? Because, you guys are probably getting as much or more information about what the status of the ceasefire is, because I think the Iranians were throwing over a big barrage of missiles, overwhelmed the Israelis. Israelis started shooting back. They said you violated the ceasefire, back and forth. And so, we're all kind of amped up a little bit, like, what's going on, But much like, so as a reference, and I don't know how much you've seen about it, the Iranians actually sent a nice text to the Qataris and said, it's not you, it's us. We're just shooting at the Americans. We don't have a beef with you guys. We're cool. The Qataris, and a lot of the culture here is about saving face and, projecting strength. And so the Qataris are like, our civil defense shot down all the missiles and everything's fine. Our beloved country was violated. And so there's a little bit of bluster, but it was pretty clear because Qatar Airways, which is, it's a major hub in Doha, they actually closed the airspace about an hour or two before the barrage.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. So we saw that back here stateside yesterday. As I was coming on the air yesterday, I saw airspace had been closed over Qatar, and then, then it was other places. But I said they must have – that was before the missiles flew. Like, did they give them a heads up?
100%.
Okay.
And that's kind of the, you know, that's the belief here, and it really all ties together. The air base was more or less evacuated. There's a very small footprint of people. Clearly, they still had some assets and, you know, countermeasures in place. But the aircraft that are normally stationed there have been sort of dispersed, as you would when you're expecting something. And so the Iranians had sort of, they didn't try to overwhelm the base defenses. They only, I think the total number of missiles they counted, I've seen anywhere between 16 and 19. That's not a huge barrage. It makes a point. But because they closed the airspace, at one point there's this little food delivery service here called Talabat. They closed that down for 30 minutes during the barrage. And then after everything was over, yeah, they opened it back up. Everybody go back to work. We'll see you in the morning, et cetera, et cetera. So it was pretty low key for, you know, a missile attack.
I mean, so they shut DoorDash down for just about an hour, and then...
And that truly is where I thought things were really going to go sideways. If you want to disrupt life in Doha, you shut down Talabat. That's how everybody gets their stuff.
You're not, so, no, that's not... Here you are a world away, and half a world away from us, and people getting their food delivered there too in Doha?
Buddy, my son went to the beach one time, forgot sunscreen. They ordered it on Talabat. The guy drove it out to the beach for him.
Wow. I mean, I get the wealth there. I do. I mean, I've watched it from afar. I don't get it as somebody who's been there like you. But just that, you know, just kind of some of those, I guess, conveniences or whatever, that's part of the culture there, just like it is in the States.
Yeah, even more so. They're very hierarchical, very status-oriented. You know, little bit. There's about just a shade over 2 million people in Qatar. There's only about 350,000, 400,000 Qataris total. And all that money that comes in from all the oil and gas, mostly gas, levels of wealth that are absurd beyond belief. And, yeah, so... I live in an apartment block. I routinely have to dodge Lamborghinis, Ferraris, Rolls Royces when I'm driving into work because they just have them here like candy.
And then, you look at some of the things over there that I've seen, the cars and then the, I think it was in Saudi, they're doing it. Are they doing it or do they have an indoor ski slope? Like it's indoor and they're making snow or something like that?
Yeah, I believe that is at a mall in Saudi, yes.
So. The old indoor. I mean, heck with the ice skating rink like they used to have in Montgomery and Birmingham. I mean, they got a slope. So going forward, business as usual for y'all or anything changes going, you know, we're in the ceasefire now. What are y'all doing at work?
So I have an oddball setup where, as you mentioned, I'm employed officially by ExxonMobil, but I'm seconded to Qatar Energy, which is the national oil company here. It's all part of the, you know, integration with the, one of the major projects. So, and they, as you might imagine, Qatar Energy has its own HR policies and whatnot, and then ExxonMobil has the way it, you know, it handles things. So in general, ExxonMobil is being very communicative about threats. They're interfacing with, you know, U.S. and other security firms. And, you know, we get routine updates about, okay, do you need to work from home? Do you need to shelter in place? They have an evacuation plan for staff. Right now, they've activated what they call a temporary, voluntary, dependent relocation. So if your family wants to bug out, company will do it for them. They haven't started evacuating working staff, but we just had a meeting this afternoon, and they just gave us an update and said, you know, we're monitoring it. We noticed that during the missile strikes, some of the plans we had in place didn't work out great. We're going to adjust those, and you know, so they're monitoring it. We feel like we're being taken care of. I get probably as much communication from the expat wives WhatsApp group. They're pretty well informed, and so, but you know, we're keeping in touch, keeping informed.
Well, I'm glad you're safe. It was a new perspective to see. Honestly, I mean, I'd seen. Back here stateside, we'd seen so many videos of it, but to see it from my buddy, taking it just, I don't know, it made it way more real to see that, know that somebody I knew that was underneath that. So I appreciate seeing that on there, giving it some context.
Yeah, you know, and you know, when you're here, something like this is happening. Huge outreach, you know, friends that I, you know, don't keep in contact with regularly, reaching out, hey, we're thinking of you, what's going on there, you know, hey, you know, hope you're okay, if you need to bug out, you know, you can stay with us. So it was, you know, it was nice to sort of activate that community, but, you know, it's nice to be thought of.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it definitely creates a different perspective being in the line of fire, because, you know, it really becomes real. You're like, wow, I'm here, and this is happening, and you got to deal with it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've lived, it's not exactly like you've been living in Pasadena the whole time. You lived in some exotic places before this, but, you know, they hadn't been missiles coming in.
Yeah, this is really the first one. My family and I were actually on vacation in Beirut a few years ago. I think it was in 2019. Yeah, it was just before COVID. And we were supposed to go out to a winery, and well, they, you know, kicked up, had a bunch of riots, but they were after the government. They were just upset. They weren't after, you know, any of us. We were driving around literal dumpster fires, and, you know, my oldest son had said, look, when the Lebanese start to get spun up, that's when it's real, because those guys have dealt with a lot. Yeah. But we were able to get out of there, and, you know, we stayed at the hotel and got to the airport, no problem. But, yeah, so not my first rodeo, but the first one that involves high explosives.
That's for sure. Jeff, I'm so happy you're safe. Good that the family is back stateside, and hopefully this ceasefire holds, and it's nothing but, you know, just BSing on the Facebook from now on, and not this stuff.
Yep, inshallah.
Well, yes, that's right. I know that word from listening to Books on Tape. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Be safe, and get your butt back here stateside. We got some beers to drink.
Thank you, sir. Glad to call. Glad to talk to you.
There he is, Jeff Toxie, which, like I said, the smartest guy in our friend group at the University of Alabama. It shows now, right, in what he's doing and his experience from yesterday with the missile attack in Doha. All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Grab your text already coming in at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 127 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And heads up, too, if you've been thinking about getting around to it, doing what I did for years, say, I'm going to get a silencer. I'm going to do it. And then I started the process online. It took forever. And then I had to go get my fingerprints one place, didn't get over there. You have to go somewhere else to get a passport photo to go with. It was quite a scene, and I didn't get it done. And my buddy Jeff Stone from Stone Arms heard me lamenting about it. Maybe I'll use another word, but lamenting about it. And he said, hey, come by the shop. And he said, I got a new kiosk in here, and you can get it all done online right here at the shop. I said, okay, I'm interested. So he set this up, and all you do is stop on in. You go into the shop, and this online kiosk takes you through the process of getting your silencer. And it's like, do this, go to next. Even if you have a problem with it, somebody from the shop, Jeff or somebody else there, can help you with it. Took me 20 minutes, sent it off 2 weeks later, got the green light. And the beauty is, silencers in stock. He's got a huge assortment of silencers and rifles and pistols to put silencers on. Some of those rifles too from ATAC Defense, they're out of Loosedale. They're making fantastic rifles. Shout out to those folks. They're and just right across the state line. They're good folks. Those rifles in stock, and really gunsmith department that can work on anything. But that kiosk, maybe the first thing, if you've been thinking about getting a silencer, go check them out. They're just west of Snow on Airport Boulevard. They're online at stonearmsinc.com. Go see Jeff and the crew today. Okay, to the text here quickly. Yes, I did. So myself, he said, and your buddy who's in harm's way, and the third thing y'all say to each other is Roll Tide. Well, we're both graduates of the University of Alabama, so yeah, Roll Tide. Let's see. Matt says, ask Jeff what he's driving. Yeah, I don't know. He could probably drive something nice as long as he's been in that field, but probably not as much as some of the Qataris that he's around with, the Lamborghinis and Ferraris. What's important about that is we've all seen the video and seen the attack on the airbase there in Doha. But to have one of my buddies who's, you know, like he said, the distance from the battleship over to Fairhope away from there in his gated community where he lives as they were drinking beers and watching it. He's a guy I've known for decades and decades and decades. His recounting of it meant a lot to me. Yeah, there's people from right here that are in harm's way with the military and people that are working in the oil and gas business. They're there right now. All right, coming right back.